We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order for Campo for March 14th. Can I get roll call, please, Kathy?
Chairperson Kimbrough.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bonkowski.
Here.
Member Bagwell.
Here.
Member Erb.
Here.
Member Alt.
Here.
Member Macquarie.
Here.
Member Studfeld.
Here.
Ex officio Member Rosenberg.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Only two items on the agenda just about. There's no reason to move them around, I don't think, is there, Dirk?
No changes from staff.
All right. Are there any disclosures for tonight's meeting? Seeing none, move forward. It's a chance for the public to make comment on any item we usually not on the agenda for tonight, which you can speak of when that item's up. Does anybody like to come forward? Seeing none, we bring it back for approval of the minutes from our February 14th meeting. Do I have any changes or motion?
I move to approve the minutes of February 14, 2018 as presented.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? I'm going to add that one now. Keep me out of trouble. Seeing none, that carries unanimous. So, it's not on the agenda, but I did want to introduce the newest member of Campo and the RTC board is Greg Studfeld, who's here tonight with us, who will be here for a long time now, we hope. He signed up at least, huh? Mm-hmm. And then from Lyon County, we have Don Alt from Lyon County.
Yeah.
Just want to introduce them to the public, and then we can move forward, I guess, and then we'll move right into the action items here. For possible action, to approve amendment to the federal fiscal year 2018-2021 Transportation Improvement Program, the TIP 6A.
Thank you, Chair. So this is regarding the Transportation Improvement Program, and the program years for this is 2018 to 2021. So this, what the TIP is a federal listing of federally funded projects. So if you have federal fund, if your project has federal funding, you have to be in the TIP. So typically, a formal amendment is required when you're adding a project, or if there's a significant change to the scope of a project. So in this case, there's two items being added. One has to do with the reconstruction of Fairview and the use of STBG funding, Surface Transportation Block Grant funding. And the second one has to do kind of with a data analysis project that's between the Nevada Department of Transportation and the Carson City Sheriff's Office. So the first one is on the reconstruction project of Fairview. So this is between Carson Street and Roop Street. And back in December of 13th, Lyon County asked Carson City if they could swap the Surface Transportation Block Grant allocation. So, which means that Carson City is responsible for expending those funds for the 2018 allocation, which is federal fiscal year. Then in January, the Carson City RTC allocated those funds for the purposes of Fairview, the reconstruction of Fairview Drive. So once we add this into the TIP, we'll be able to move forward with an agreement with NDOT and then get into the design. Right now, the design is very conceptual, and it's really to develop a cost estimate for the project, see if it's feasible, and then to move forward. So we haven't come forward with an absolute design, and there will be work as we do that, as we do so. The second project is with the Carson City Sheriff's Office, and what this is the use of federal safety money, and NDOT is providing the sheriff's offices around the state money to upgrade their equipment and software to help with crash report, vehicle crash data reporting. As you know, there's been a movement for performance measurements, planning, and this is kind of going to feed into that so that we can track where the crashes are. This is being rolled out throughout the state in a phased approach. I believe the first ones were maybe up in Washoe and down in Clark, so we're in the second round, but it's really just to improve the reporting. Now, there was a 30-day public comment period that was required. That has been done. No comments have been received. So this is a very a typical process with the Transportation Improvement Program. This concludes my comments, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, staff? Go ahead, Jess.
Dirk, so the NDOT planning study, and I just want to make sure that's going to include bikes and PEDs as well as just vehicles.
For the transportation improvement program, the use of the funds for the Carson City Sheriff's Office, they denoted those funds as planning funds, but a planning study is not being done as more of a, this is how we're going to categorize these funds, but those funds are being used just for the collection of crash data for the purposes of law enforcement in the field, tracking vehicle crashes. As for the design of Fairview, there is no study being done, but the city's complete street policy will be evaluated as we look at the design for Fairview Drive.
Yeah, thanks. I don't think I made myself clear. So in the crash data collection, I would like to make sure that that includes PEDs and vehicles and bikes and vehicles, as well as just vehicle to vehicle, because that's been there's a shortage of that data. I mean, I'm sure there's a shortage of that data everywhere, but there's a shortage in Carson City to help us make smarter decisions about where we might want to make certain sorts of improvements. So
that's included if law enforcement responds to it. So it has to be a reported crash, but if the sheriff's office responds to it and involves a bike or a pedestrian, then it would be included in that data.
So I'm sure there's like reporting guidelines for all this stuff that they go through, and I think it would be helpful if they, I don't know if they would include this, what type of ped or bike crash that might be. For example, I mean, the most common one is right hooks, right? So if we had that breakdown, that would be really helpful, I think, in deciding on projects going forward. So I don't know if that's included or not.
I'd have to check with our safety divisions, but I believe it is that the crash reporting system that all the law enforcement agencies do is pretty detailed, from which, you know, vehicle one, vehicle two, what direction they were approaching, what type of crash it was, how many were injured, killed, property damage only, those sorts of things. So I believe it's all in there, but I'd be happy to have our traffic safety folks reach out to you separately just to see if there's any enhancements we can make. I mean, there's a lot of required data reporting, and some of it just stays with law enforcement versus what gets reported to us for those statistics, but we'd be happy to work with you to see if we're collecting the data that you're interested in.
Except when I was on the state bike board for many years, which is back in the past a little bit, one of the problems was every agency and every county and every city did different reporting systems for crash data. So a lot of bicycle and ped things weren't in the system. And a lot of times bicycles alone or kids get hurt or there isn't a vehicle part of it aren't recorded usually sometimes. So I thought that they finally have gotten their act together across the state now with all the different agencies with the new digital reporting to get the right data finally for what's really going on.
And that's why we're using our, you know, the statewide federal safety dollars to purchase equipment for law enforcement agencies throughout the state. As Dirk mentioned, it's kind of going in chunks as agencies are open to it. But that's the goal, is to have consistent data reporting, both for our performance measures, but just for planning purposes as well, whether or not we're collecting everything that's of interest in those you know, those bicycle crashes that aren't reported. If someone, you know, just falls on their own, it's probably not reported. We don't really have a way of collecting that, but we're certainly interested in that information as well, where there's high-risk locations. But it's really to have consistent data reporting throughout the state, so it's all one system. It all gets reported in the same way, and that way we can spend our time analyzing that and putting our money where it's best used and doing those factors rather than spending all of our time, you know, getting data from different sources and kind of manipulating that data so it's all consistent. That way it's all reported into the same, and it's automatically reported up to that system. So it should be a lot more efficient now.
We were even trying to get the MS part for bike injuries and ped injuries to go into the law enforcement side. That's like good luck there sometimes. So I had a question for Dirk. You didn't You're not doing a feasibility study for Fairview to see if you can do it, are you?
No, there's no study.
You said you're doing something to see if it can happen.
We did kind of like a conceptual design to help us with the cost estimate to see if it was feasible.
So you're still saying see if it's feasible. So well, it may not be feasible? Is what
we believe it is. This was kind of back in December and in January.
Okay, all right. Thank you. No more questions of staff? Seeing none, anybody from the public want to come forward on this side? Seeing none, bring it back for a motion or any other comments or discussion?
Okay. I move to approve an amendment to the federal fiscal year 2018-2021 Transportation Improvement Program as listed.
I have a motion. Do I have a second? What are we, commissioners? Yeah, Commissioner McQuarrie, second. Any more discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries unanimous. Item 6B on the agenda, to approve the federal fiscal year 2017-2019 Title VI program document update.
Sure. Yes, I'll take this one, Mr. Chair. Thank you. The Title VI, just a brief background, the Title VI of the 1964 Civil Rights Act prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, and national origin in programs that receive federal financial assistance. In complying with this act, the Federal Transit Administration requires creation of a Title VI program document and an update to that document every 3 years. While the federal fiscal year 2014 to 2016 document was updated by CAMPO in response to findings from a federal audit in 2015, with most recent approval, FTA approval of that update in 2016, it did not advance the timeline for the next update to the program. Staff was informed in January that despite the status of CAMPO's Title VI program in the FTA's electronic management system showing as compliant up to fiscal year 2019, updates to the Title VI program are on predetermined cycles, and therefore an update is required for the federal fiscal year 2017 to 2019 cycle. So approval of the proposed federal fiscal year 2017 to 2019 Title VI program will meet the FTA's extended deadline of March 15th, which is tomorrow, and will get CAMPO into full compliance for the current cycle. Any potential issues with the proposed document will be addressed in response to the FTA's full program review of CAMPO scheduled for May 16th and 17th. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions, staff? John?
Graham, I had a question that was presented to me by one of our county commissioners, just in general about the JAC service. He wanted to know why JAC doesn't serve the whole CAMPO area down to Dayton and into Douglas County. Can you kind of do a quick, I know it could be a long, lengthy explanation, but something quick on the funding and how the route is developed and how JAC came about?
Yeah, this is more of a 30,000-foot level. So Douglas County, Lyon County, and Carson City all contribute towards the local match for the consolidated planning grant. And as a part of that, there's FTA funding too. So that local contribution is just for planning, whether it's transportation planning or transit planning. Now, separate from that is that since Carson area is in the Metropolitan Planning Organization, we receive FTA funding. That FTA funding is a direct allocation from the federal government to Carson City, which means that we're responsible for complying with all the compliances of FTA. That money is passed through, in this case, to Carson City, who runs JAC. And so the Carson City RTC is providing that local match for the services currently being provided. Now, that said, that FTA money could be used, a portion of it, or I should say at the discretion of the Campbell Board, could be used in the areas of Lyon County and Douglas County to provide transit services. Now, the issue in the past usually has been with complying with FTA requirements and whether or not that is something that the Lyon County or Douglas County kind of want to take on those responsibilities. There would be some help that would be available from the Campbell staff, as Campbell staff does serve those three member agencies. But that's kind of more of a high level, and staff is happy to discuss more of those details with both Lyon and Douglas County if there's any interest in using those funds.
How much?
We receive about $1.1 million annually from the Federal Transit Administration.
And depending on what type of source there is, some of the local matches either 20% or 50%, depending on what you're using those funds for.
Go ahead, John.
Thank you for your response. That'll be helpful for me replying to his question. So thank you.
Go ahead, Chair.
So, Graham, I was just curious, the update includes complaint procedures and stuff. Have we ever had a complaint about discrimination for the JAC?
We have not ever had a formal Title VI complaint through JAC.
Any more questions? Seeing none, anybody from the public like to come forward and speak to this item on the agenda? Sandra? Does he want to speak to the?
Yeah.
So let's bring it back. Any more comments, questions, or a motion? Or is a motion maker?
Today's the day. Move to approve the federal fiscal year 2017-2019 Title VI program document update as presented.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second
from Commissioner Erb. So. Call for the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries unanimous. Next item on the agenda is number 7 for future agenda items. Dirk?
April's agenda is looking light. We do have one item. It is a good item. And this is, we will be presenting a draft kind of for public comment and discussion on CAMPO's 2019-2020 Unified Planning Work Program. And what this does, this lays out the tasks for CAMPO staff for the next 2 years. I'm looking forward to it, and it should be a good item. But besides that, that's all we have.
I was going to ask John, would it help if there might be some different discussion on the next CAMPO about JAC and Douglas County, or did you want to keep that in close right now?
I think Dirk's answer was plenty for now. We'll see how it works out.
Thank you. And I'm looking for board comments. I start on the right. Sandra?
I just wanted to let this group know that we have a series of I-11 meetings coming up. We're doing a PEL, which is Planning and Environment Linkages. It's short of NEPA, but trying to start preparing for that kind of start looking at the opportunities and constraints of different alternatives. The Carson City meeting will be on March 29th from 2 to 5 p.m. at NDOT in our main conference room. It's also going to be broadcast to our different districts as well as on Facebook Live. And then we have a series of other meetings starting in Southern Nevada and working our way up the corridor. So we're excited to continue that work. That's all I have.
Thank you. Greg, any comments on your first meeting?
No, other than I'm happy to be here.
So Sandra's baby. He's happy. John, anything else?
Not for me.
Good. Brett, Lori, Chaz, Don.
Yeah, I was wondering about that $1 million.
You want to put in for some of it? That might be a whole different agenda. You might spend some time with staff and get some clarity on that. And Dirk would gladly sit down and talk to you about that. Since his boss is gone, he gets to speak directly to that right now. Let me see, where are we at? Oh, public comment. If there's anybody else, anything else somebody would like to come up and speak to tonight? Seeing none, bring it back. Next meeting scheduled 4:30, April 11th. Now I call for a motion for adjournment.
So moved. Adjourn.
So moved. What time do you want to come back?
We'll do 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Give everybody a nice long break.
There you go. Thank you.
like to welcome everybody and call this meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission to order. It is Wednesday, March 14th. It is 4:59. We are in the Sierra Room at the Carson City Community Center. Kathy, can we have a roll call, please?
Chairperson Bonkowski?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bagwell?
Here.
Commissioner Kimbrough?
Here.
Commissioner McQuarrie?
Here.
Commissioner Stedfield?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Agenda management notice. Any changes to the agenda?
Staff has no changes to the agenda.
Great. Any commission members have any changes to the agenda? All two items?
Yeah.
No? All right. So the agenda will stand as published. Any member of the RTC board may inform the chair of his or her intent to make a disclosure of a conflict of interest on any item appearing on the agenda. Such disclosures should be made at the time the specific agenda item is introduced. And we are now on item four on the agenda, public comment. Is there any member of the public, of which there are none here tonight, like to come up to the podium? And since there's nobody here, nobody's walking up. We're now on item five, approval of the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes? Then I would entertain a motion. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We are now on the public meeting items. Item 6A for possible action to authorize the transportation manager to sign an interlocal agreement between Carson City and Story County for the provision of technical support and maintenance of traffic signals and lighting in Story County by Carson City staff. And Dirk, you're taking this on?
Thank you, sir. I want to start by introducing James Jacklett. He is our operations manager for system controls, for control systems. He's made an appearance here once in a while, so his face should look familiar. The proposed agreement is with Story County. They are getting their first signal. This is at Electric Avenue and USA Parkway, which is closer to Highway 80. This agreement is similar to the agreements that we have with Douglas County and Lyon County. A few points to mention is that this agreement is for time and material, so all that will be reimbursed. The initial term for this agreement is just over 2 years, and it would term out at July 2020. After that, it turns into a one-year automatic renewal. There is language in this agreement that allows the city to refuse or delay responses if, for example, there's an emergency in Carson City and those resources are needed here. But this is agreement that we like to do. It just helps out our neighbors. It is a simple agreement, and that really concludes my comments, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the commissioners? Jazz, then Maury.
Thanks, Dirk. I mean, it is a lot closer to Sparks than Carson City, so I'm just curious why they didn't ask Sparks. They'd get a better response time, I think.
You know, we have a good partnership with the current counties, and we might be a better fit for what they're dealing with. Sparks does have their own, issues. They have quite a bit more signals and needs than we do, so I think it was just maybe a good fit and why they kind of reached out to us.
So mine just goes along the lines, you believe you have the staff time to actually perform the contract? That's really in essence, it's not going to take away from the duties that are needed in Carson City.
Correct. And James, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was discussion and we believe that we're in a good spot with regards to not putting us over the edge of needing another employee, and that this is something that we can handle.
Yeah, James Jacklett, Operations Manager, Public Works, for the record. This signal is one additional signal. We currently maintain 71. That's traffic signals. We also maintain lighting, erecting the rapid flashing beacons, radar signs, a number of other devices. And the current level of service that we perform, adding this one signal is not going to disrupt that balance. when we look forward in the coming months to talking about coordination and what we want to do with the program, if we're going to raise the level of service and put in significant programs to retime on a continuous basis, that is what's going to upset our balance of labor. This one will fit in. We'll be able to absorb it fine, and I don't anticipate any issue providing this service to them. And I just want to point out that this agreement has a lot more in it. It has much more language that we put in there specifically to protect us, to make sure that we're not assuming additional liability. And it's our intent in the coming months to go back to our Douglas County and Lyon County agreement upon their expiration or before that, and renegotiate the terms of those and bring them under this language. So I want to make that clear that this is our template going forward.
Any additional questions? Greg.
Just one for me. Is there something in the language about response time? And the only reason I ask that is there's a lot of traffic out there. So if their signal goes down, are we like beating feet out there to fix it or?
Sure. There's not a specific response time that is agreed to in here. There is a section that there are several sections, but there's one specifically that outlines that we will make an honest and a best effort to get there given the circumstances, and that's all that we're agreeing to. The other thing is there's language in this agreement that requires Story County to maintain their responsibility for that signal. So under the terms or under the unfortunate event, if something was to occur and we were not able to get out there, this language clarifies that they are responsible for that signal. We're just offering our technical expertise, our tooling, and our capability to them at a time and material rate in order to help them out. It helps with efficiency and promotes the regional support that we've provided to Douglas and Lyon.
So two things that we were able to put into this agreement. First, that Carson City can prioritize the scheduling of work. So if, as Dirk said, if we have an emergency or if we are short-staffed and can't get out there, then we can deal with that. The second is that there's a 30-day termination clause in this contract. So if we enter into this in 6 months down the road, we determine that it's not working and we can't work through those differences, we can terminate the contract. Any additional discussion on this item? Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring this back to the commission and entertain a motion.
Move to authorize the transportation manager to sign an interlocal agreement between Carson City and Story County for the provision of technical support and maintenance of traffic signals and lighting in Story County by Carson City staff.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion on this item? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We're now on item 6B for possible action to approve the grant application with the Nevada Aging and Disability Services Division in the amount of $50,000 for the period July 1, 2018 through June 30, 2019, and to authorize the RTC chairman to sign the application and associated certifications and assurances. And Graham, this one's yours.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So this application is for the second year of a two-year grant cycle for the Nevada Aging and Disability Services Division's social services grants. The second year grant period and reporting cycle will be for fiscal year 2019 and is non-competitive. However, completion of this second year application is required in order to be considered for continued funding in fiscal year 19. This grant has been used for several years to fund the Jump Around Carson Senior Bus Pass program, which provides unlimited free rides to seniors on Jack fixed route buses, and it's projected that nearly 80,000 free rides will be provided to seniors in fiscal year 18 alone. So it's been great for seniors maintaining their independence, been great for Jack ridership, citizens of Carson City, and ADSD actually gets a lot of bang for their buck. So it's been good all the way around. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions from the commissioners? Lori?
So what age is senior so the public would understand what's that cutoff that they could get?
60 plus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any other commissioners have questions? Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I will bring this back to the commission and entertain a motion.
Move to approve a grant application with the Nevada Aging and Disability Services Division, the ADSD, in the amount of $50,000 for the period July 1st, 2018 to June 30th, 2019, and to authorize the RTC chairperson to sign the application and associated certifications and assurances.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. That item passes as well. We are now on to agenda item 7, internal communications and administrative matters, non-action items. 7A, transportation manager's report.
Thank you. Two things to report on. Good news, Carson City was successful in its Tiger Grant, which provides about $7.5 million. This is very exciting. This is going to help us bring complete street improvements starting at 5th Street all the way south to the I-580 intersection. So this is very exciting. Secondly, a few weeks ago, we were notified that we had tentative approval of the FLAP grant, which is for the reconstruction of a portion of Kings Canyon Road and to expand and improve that trailhead that's currently there. So good news. That's all I have.
Yeah, I'd like to piggyback on that, and I'd like to thank staff, the mayor, Lori. The mayor and Lori went back to Washington to lobby for this. Senator Heller, Congressman Amade, all of them had their part in getting the approval for the Tiger Grant. And frankly, the South Carson Complete Streets project would be a half street project if it wasn't for this Tiger Grant. So it's really critical for connectivity and completing that entire corridor. It's going to change the face of the southern part of Carson City, and I know that the bike riders are certainly going to appreciate it because riding on South Carson is taking your life into your hands. So thank you for that. And any questions from the commissioners on the report?
Chaz? I'll make a comment on the FLAP grant for Kings Canyon. That's great, and staff, again, needs to be given credit for the fact that they applied for that and spent the time to put the application in. So how often do you get to give your report as two really positive items and then move aside? That's really good news.
Yes.
Could you expand a little bit on the FLAP grant for Kings Canyon Road? So what is the extent of that?
The extent is, I want to say it's about 1,000 or so yards west of Longview Road. Right where one of the streams actually crosses Kings Canyon Road. And the goal there is to widen that road just a little bit so that we have two lanes, two bike lanes if possible, and then to expand the trailhead. Currently there's parking there, and on a busy day that parking starts backing up, creating issues for the neighborhood as well as emergency response. So this will allow us to expand the trailhead and get the parking off the road, but it's a full reconstruction of the roadway, which, as you may know, is in poor condition right now.
Thanks. So it doesn't include the piece east of the Longview widening for Longview East Straits, where there's a sort of a constriction there right now.
Okay. Correct.
Additional questions? No. Okay, we're on to item 7B, Street Operations Activity Report.
This is a few highlights for the month of January. There, we did do some crack sealing, Fairview, North Stewart Street. We also did some concrete work on North Carson Street for the pedestrian signal and just some preparation of ADA improvements. We also did some ditch clearing that took a good chunk of the time for that month. So. Besides that, just business as usual.
Just a general question. Somebody asked me on the crack seal operation. I've seen it with the blocks, but can you tell me, like, is there an average number of blocks that equals potholes, or it's really dependent on the size? Any benchmark I can give someone on what a block means.
I can see if I can come back and give you something. It's very hard because it all depends on the size of the crack. And usually we start crack sealing once the crack's above, I want to say, an eighth of an inch. We start applying that rubber. And then at some point, we have to pull back if the crack's getting too large, but it's very dependent on the size.
Additional questions? Yes. Go ahead, Mark.
I was going to ask a question that may or may not fit in here. That they're building a new medical building on Medical Parkway and Vista, and there's some cracks on Vista. I think I saw a Volkswagen stuck in the other day on the pavement. When they construct a facility like that, is that a chance for you to get cracks or those types of, no? I got a shaking head no. Well, we'll just keep looking for Volkswagens over there in those cracks.
Nice try, Mark. Any additional questions on the street activity report? All right, we will move on to the project status report.
Thank you, Chair. So Carson City Freeway multi-use path, this project is, for the most part, complete. There were some imperfections in the path on the surface due to equipment being removed. As a result, we are holding a very small piece of the retention and having the contractor come back in the spring to do a slurry seal to get rid of that imperfection. Sierra Vista Lane reconstruction project, that one's in full swing. They got done clearing and grubbing, and they're moving forward with it. Silver Sage Drive between Snyder Avenue and Clearview, this is a reconstruction project. We're at about 90% design plans. The micro seals and the slurry seals, there's been no change. We are still waiting for the spring when we have temperatures. We advertised the project for bids on North Carson Street for the CDBG ADA improvements. So we should be having a contract hopefully soon in the next month or two. Battery backup improvements, the installation has begun. So you might see that around town.
Any word on when the shipping will be for the reflective backplates?
I believe we have that. I can check into that. South Carson Street, still working towards 30% design. And just so you know, in the future, we're going to probably lump all the South Carson Street project forms into one now that we have one project versus kind of two smaller ones. Carson City Freeway multi-use path to Colorado Street, we are in design. South Carson Street again. Fairview Drive reconstruction. Now that we have approval for the TIP amendment, we will be working with NDOT in an agreement, which will lay out the budget and then allow us to go into design and ultimately construction. Fairview Drive Preservation Project, which is from Roop all the way east to US 50. The construction project is out to bid, and so we should be hopefully have a contract in the next month or two. And that concludes my comments for the project updates.
Any questions on the project status report? Seeing none, future agenda items, 7D.
Future agenda items, we're probably going to have a full agenda item to some degree. We have a FLAP agreement for the scoping of Kings Canyon. There might be some FTA funding items just to receive FTA funding and then do some public noticing. As I noted earlier, construction contracts, we might see some of those next month. We might see an action plan for Jack, kind of what's next after we did those surveys. And then there'll be an item on the budget as it relates to the RTC. So that concludes my comments for future items.
Any questions on future agenda items or any additional agenda items by any of the commissioners? Go ahead, Lori.
Do you know when we'll be having the discussion on the signals, on the timing and stuff?
The signal timing will be more of a Campo item. What's going to happen is that we're going to do some planning of the signal system at a Campo level, and so then some of that might translate maybe in a year down the road to action by RTC. But the initial study will be done by Campo staff, and that will look at the traffic signal from a regional perspective and try and see if there's efficiencies to be made in timing.
In like the next few months, I was looking for a, you mean in 6 months, 7 months? Just to give me an idea.
Darren Schultz, Public Works, for the record. I think it was a discussion between perhaps you and Lucia about what goes into signal timing and how they're currently done around town. Yes, yeah, she was working on that, and I think the plan was when she got back that would be brought forward, so I would maybe the May meeting.
Thank you, Darren. Any additional comments from the commissioners? All right, we are down to item 8 on the agenda, board comments. We'll start over here with Greg. Any comments? Welcome, by the way.
Thank you.
Mark?
Okay.
All right. Tez? Okay. Final public comment. Any member of the public like to come up for final public comment? I see nobody approaching. Our next meeting is scheduled for after the Campo meeting on Wednesday, April 11th, right here in this room. So I hope you'll all join us. And final item on the agenda is for a motion for adjournment.
I move to adjourn.
We are adjourned. Thank you all for attending.